How was just your weekend, Mitchell?
Just my weekend was fantastic. How was just your weekend, Bob?
Yeah, just my weekend was fine. Thank you. Midweek, not so good, but just
what
my weekend.
What do you mean
weekend,
fine. How, you didn't play until Monday night, like to tonight. It's not really a weekend, is it? Or are you just happy when West Ham don't ruin your weekend of football?
It's still a weekend.
If West Ham don't play a game at a weekend, you're happy because they ain't lost.
Clive, if Arsenal won this weekend, you would still be celebrating Monday as if it was a weekend, like I'm doing right now.
I wouldn't. It's a new week, isn't it?
Well, someone's bitter already, aren't they? They need to go to bed.
We're going to start with West Ham and their great... we're starting with a loss against Leicester, 3-1, Bob.
Yeah, what I happens? Don't remember that game. We'll move on to tonight, I reckon.
No. We need to touch on Jamie Vardy and all of that jazz.
Yeah, it was one of them games, wasn't it? One of them games. 31 shots we had in that game. 31 shots and we scored one. it was just... Yeah... I really don't know what to say about that game because again, like the Arsenal game, I feel like there was a bit more structure to us. Yes, we looked leaky again, which we did again tonight. Well, I'll touch on that in a minute. But yeah, it was just one of them games. I mean, 31 shots, pretty much controlled the game going forward, and lose 3-1. New manager bounce, should have took that into consideration. I didn't even think about that when I predicted the score. But you know, we move on to tonight.
Straight into tonight.
Did you watch the game or?
Well, I was playing football, so I did not watch it. I did get offered a ticket to it, but I decided to go and play football rather than watch West Ham. So,
well, it's understandable. Stupid decision that was, Clive.
Yeah, we lost the Monday night football as well, so it wasn't a great decision. But
yeah, tonight it was a bit of a weird game. You could tell that both teams were pretty nervous about losing it. It's quite slow pace to begin with.
Was it dubbed El Sacico or whatever it was? Wasn't it?
It was, yeah, dubbed El Sacico. We know which way that one's going now, and not the way that 90% of the West Ham fan base wanted it to go. Probably. it was quite slow paced. You could tell that both teams were quite nervous. I think again, we showed what we were about a little bit. I think defensively we were a little bit better. We weren't as leaky as we have been previously, which you can tell by the scoreline. I was a little bit nervous, first of all, about Mavropanos starting over Todibo. But actually, I feel like he had a half-decent game up until the point that he nearly gave away a penalty, which should have been a penalty, by the way.
I heard on the radio it should have been a penalty.
Yeah, it definitely should have been a penalty. There's no need for the challenge. I think
no need for challenges in the area when we come to Tottenham, Chelsea.
Absolutely, yeah. We absolutely will. But it was one of them where he kind of went down quite delayed, and I think that's what made us get away with it.
Yeah, that's what Danny Murphy said. He kind of took an extra kind of step, then went down, so...
Yeah, I think if he goes down straight away, it's a definite penalty. I'm surprised VAR didn't give a penalty anyway. There was another penalty shout as well, which I couldn't tell whether it was outside the box or not, to be honest with you, but that would have been a softer one, but another potential penalty.
They tweeted about that one, the good old tweeting system that they have, saying because the contact started outside of the box, they didn't get involved in it.
Yeah,
but I thought the rules were doesn't matter where the contact starts. If the contact continues inside of the box, it can then be given. But
yeah, I mean,
the referees don't know the rules. VAR doesn't know the rules, so we can just move on. Just move on.
I don't think it did continue into the box, though. To be honest,
right? Okay,
it was more of a shove in the back. And then he's kind of fell into the box. So it's not like the contact was still there when he was in the box. So maybe that is the right decision. I don't know. Should have been a foul though. Obviously I thought we was going to win tonight, and this is quite a sad way to say it, but I think because of obviously what happened with Mikel Antonio during the week, I thought there was going to be a bit of a bounce in the stadium.
That actually happened over the weekend, Bob, when West Ham didn't play.
I didn't mean to celebrate the weekend then, because that was a horrible thing that happened.
You're a bad man, mate.
I thought there was going to be a bit of a bounce in the stadium. I thought we probably would have got a result. Bowen was brilliant. So much energy, constantly chasing down.
Schumann, he was playing through the middle, sorry.
He was, yeah, tonight. It was a couple of questionable ones there, really, because, well, Paqueta didn't start. And I don't know whether I rate that or not, because I have been banging on a lot in this podcast about
how
he's not turned up. How he's not turned up this season.
And against a team like Wolves, where you'd probably think, like, I know there's a lot of pressure on the game because of both positions of the teams, but you think in a game like, these are the kind of games that Paqueta could really take by the scruff of the neck and kind of show his actual quality. When you're playing the bigger teams or the better quality teams in midfield, you kind of think, well, yeah, maybe he's not going to get on the ball enough to make anything happen. But against Wolves, you go, well, yeah, they're struggling as well. Like, put him in.
Yeah, it was a questionable one, but like I say, but also equally, I've actually rated Soler when he started for us, and he obviously started us today. I don't know if Paqueta would have came on, to be fair, but Soler got a yellow card, so I think that kind of sped up the decision a little bit to take him off. But I do assume that he would have come on at some point. Our first goal was a header from Souček from a corner. To be honest, the Wolves defending was absolute shite. Gave Souček so much space, but I think at the same time, there were a couple of players blocking Wolves defenders, which might have had an impact in that, and gave him the space to kind of make... It's quite a good lofted header over the keeper, which is probably one that yous would probably watch and think they should be doing better to defend that. And then the second goal was just a beautiful finish from Jared Bowen, to be honest with you. I was really happy with the result, and I don't know about happy with the performance. It was, like I say, very cagey, as you would expect in this kind of game where both teams definitely want to win, which is the same as every football game, I know, but obviously there's a lot riding on it.
I wanted to ask you about the performance, right? Because this is, I'm obviously going to ask you the question, Lopetegui in, right?
Top four?
No, all right, not. Right. But your views on Lopetegui still, because I know like 98% of the fan base want him out. And I'm just looking at this, right? And I thought you were going to lose both games and I was going to fucking laugh at you. But you lost to Leicester. And Wolves, it sounds like it wasn't a convincing win. Right. And Wolves, before that game, had lost 9 and have only won 2. They are shit this season. They are struggling. So are you happy that you can just scrape a result? Is that good enough for West Ham that you scrape a result against someone in relegation?
I'm not sure scrape a result is a fair assumption of it, to be fair. I think the game was very cagey, but So, for example, against Newcastle when we were 2-0 up, I was worried that we were going to slip up at some point because Newcastle looked pretty good still, like they could do something.
But they started the game better as well, Newcastle. Like they were the better team until you scored.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like we had a hold on that match for pretty much the whole 98 minutes or whatever it was in the end. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
When they equalised, was you a bit, here we go? Or was you like, no, we still got...
I was still pretty confident that we would score at some point. We also had 2 disallowed goals as well. I was pretty confident that we would. But I get what you're saying with Lopetegui. I still don't think...
I think the performances are quite there.
But I don't think... I really don't think that we have been playing as bad as what we were at the start of the season these past few games, regardless of the results.
So to touch on what Mitchell's saying as well, like, not performance, but... like we had someone in one of our friends group offer two tickets to West Ham game. I've had another friend earlier this morning offer me two tickets to the West Ham game. Do you think that's because it's a Monday night game, or do you think that's like the guy who offered me the tickets said he doesn't want to watch Lopetegui's West Ham? Like, I don't know if he's done for the season. I don't know, but do you think there's a lot of people that are kind of gearing up that way? Was the stadium full tonight? Was it like, as you say, like, given what happened to Antonio at the weekend, you kind of expect the fans to now really galvanise and get behind the team and make that atmosphere stupid, like make it insane.
Yeah. I think the atmosphere was quite flat compared to what I was expecting. And I do think that probably plays a part in it. And it probably is... that the fans thinking that, you know, I don't want to watch Lopetegui's play. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, for me, the decision not to go tonight was because it was a Monday night game, just an FYI, because I can't be dealing with that. And it's a long old walk from Stratford Station to the stadium. Can't be fucked with that. But yeah, I think that probably does play a part in it, but I'm not sure that's the right attitude to have. Not that I'm calling anyone out for doing that, because obviously I didn't go. But like, you've got to go and support your team, right? If you choose to buy a ticket, like, or a season ticket, you still got.
The old cliche thing is you support them when they're winning, you support them when they're losing. Like, you don't celebrate the victories if you're not willing to back them when they lose. Like,
exactly.
Do you support them if you want the manager gone?
Well, yeah, I think
you always support your team.
Of course
for
you
sure.
do. Like, you still... That's the thing that winds me up, to be honest with you, because there'll still be... Even after a victory, I think even... So against Newcastle, for example, we went there, we played so well, and obviously got a really good result against them. And I still saw videos on YouTube the next day. Oh, we won against Newcastle, but Lopetegui's still here, basically. Like, what kind of attitude is that?
Mm.
Like, for me, you've got to at least sing their praises when they do something good. Like, don't just completely dismiss it. Otherwise, we're never going to get anywhere, regardless of the manager that we've got in.
Sure.
Fuckers.
How is the formation in the game? I'm just looking at it now. With Bowen up front, Kudos on the right. And obviously Antonio not about now for about a year or even longer now.
Yeah.
With the change, just do you reckon that forced him to put Bowen up front?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably the right option. As much as I've spoke before that I don't think Bowen up front necessarily works. I don't think Danny Ings is the option for a full game, personally. I feel like bringing him on later on was probably the right choice.
Yeah.
And I think Jared was offering a lot. Because you could tell there were certain situations in the game where Fabianski was getting it forward, no one there to really hold it up. But what Bowen does really well is chase those balls down and hound them, which is slightly different to what... Antonio also does that, but he's also got that physical presence up there to bring the ball down and keep hold of it for a little while, whereas Bowen don't have that as much, but he's definitely good at hounding down players and getting possession back if he doesn't win that first ball. So I quite liked it tonight. Like I say, it didn't set the world alight. It wasn't one of those performances, but there were definitely positives there. And I think for the most part, we had quite good control over the game. I think there was some good game management in there. The other thing that I wanted to mention as well was Mavropanos. I was quite nervous him starting going into the game, but there was a few occasions that that slip up that we were seeing from West Ham in the first few games with Wan-Bissaka getting caught out of position. I noticed a couple of times tonight that Mavro was getting over quite quickly and covering that position if Wolves were trying to get us on the counter. So there's definitely stuff happening. It's just time for the results to start coming in.
I think it's a fair comment. No one enjoys watching a team lose every week. And you do need to, like, as you said, kind of last, say, month or so, it's now the time that you start putting a little run together because you've got a breather in your fixtures now. Like, it should be a bit of a fixture list that you start picking up points in, right? I mean, yeah. I know your next match is Bournemouth and they're no joke this season either. Predictions before... not before Man versus AI, Clive. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. but with the performance tonight, do you see it's, again, something to build on, something that you can now go forward and try and get a result against Bournemouth?
Yeah. It's a really hard one to call because, like, I've been here before, like, against Newcastle, and then we go and lose 5-2 against Arsenal and then lose 3-0 against Leicester. 3-1. 3-1, sorry. Yeah, I turned it off before Fulkrug scored, to be honest. That's why I keep thinking it was 3-0. It's a tough one to call that because I do think tonight as well, which I was actually a little bit impressed with, was it's obviously a home game tonight. A lot of pressure on that game. I feel like West Ham probably, you feel more pressure at home, didn't you? I would say 100%. In those kind of games. Obviously, we've got
the crowd gets away. The crowd gets on your players' backs, not the away team.
Yeah, exactly. And you could that was one thing that was worrying me tonight. Actually, was there was a couple of like balls played back and stuff like that, and you could hear the groans from the crowd. And obviously, where it's such a big stadium, it sounds so loud. And I kind of thought, like, how is that going to affect the players? Especially when we're not losing the game. I get it if we're in like the 80th minute and it's 0-0.
And you need a goal, sure.
Yeah. But like, it was happening very early on in the game. I think maybe we could build on something from this and go away to Bournemouth without that pressure, maybe get a result there. We'll find out in the main versus AI prediction, I suppose, Clive.
Wonderful. Right. Anyone else want to chat West Ham?
Oh, God, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Anybody want to ask the question?
I'd love to take it out.
That's the one.
Top four.
Still. All right, we'll go to Arsenal.
Shit.
I was waiting for it. So, good result midweek at home against United, 2-0. Two more set of pieces. Second one was a bit lucky. Saliba didn't really know much about it. But again, the general play was good. We dominated the game, really, if we're being honest. I don't know what the United manager was going on about, thinking that was in the game. They really weren't. And then
I thought Stoke had United during the week.
Sorry, who?
I thought Stoke were playing Man United during the week.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Sorry, let's get in somewhere.
And then Fulham, first half was a bit of a dud. They went 1-0 up. Again, the confidence was there that we was going to get something out of the game. Second half, we kind of went up a gear and another set piece goal. Go on. No? Okay, another Saliba goal.
I've done it once. I'm not going to do it again.
And then we were really pushing and it did look like we was going to get a second. Thought we had a second as well in the 88th minute. But unfortunately, Martinelli's toenail was offside. So
I was a bit more than a toenail.
Martinelli's toenail was offside.
So bitter.
It was a great header by Saka, though. yeah, it's just disappointing. Like, again, and it's one of those results where Fulham have been a bit of a bogey team for us the last couple of years, and they've continued that. We really needed to get 3 points. I really do think it was. I know Liverpool didn't play, but just to get to within 4 points, it kind of adds some pressure on them to go out and do it as well. It was disappointing. And that's really it. Like, there's not too much more to say. Like, I think he's getting a bit braver with his substitutions in terms of even bringing Odegaard off. I think team selection was probably the problem. Like, he is starting to rotate a little bit, but we just look like a balanced team with Thomas Partey at a defensive midfielder. I think that was probably the wrong team selection that's done us this week.
I mean, you had 6 corners, Clive. I mean, come on.
Six penalties for you boys.
You should be putting them away.
Again, we'll get there, won't we?
I'm not asking this question as like an insult to Arsenal, but do you feel like you're kind of getting to the point where you're like, what went wrong with like the actual on-field attacking in that game? Do you feel like sometimes you're relying on getting those corners, or do you think that the opportunities just weren't there?
I think there's a bit of an over-reliance on playing down our right-hand side, because Odegaard and Saka have that understanding. Teams, I'm not going to say it's one-dimensional when it isn't a set piece, but teams know, right, we're going to overload that area of the pitch. So we should do a better job at switching the play. And Martinelli, once again, getting a lot of stick from various Arsenal fans and whatnot. But between him and Trossard, regardless of who's playing on that left-hand side, they need to offer a bit more, and we need to get the ball out of there a bit more. And yeah, they need to produce. Now, maybe it's time to even try Gabriel Jesus out there. Maybe. It's worked. Timber at right back, maybe he could play left back to give us a bit more of a dynamic left wing. But I think at the moment there's too much reliance down the right hand side. And Saka can only do so much, right? I say his name every week, but he can only do so much.
Was it Robinson that was against him?
I don't know who was down that side, to be honest.
Okay. He's been quality this season, if it was him, to be fair. So do you think they were just doing a very good job down the right side?
I think they just contained as well, yeah. Like, they sat it deep, sat in, and unfortunately we didn't unlock them. And maybe you could even say that they've got a bit of insider knowledge in regards to how we're going to play, given that they've got a couple of our ex-players within the squad. So, and two obviously went there this summer, so that they kind of have a bit of an inside track on us.
I don't think they needed that though, Clive, did they? I mean, they already knew what you were going to do. Go down the right, get a corner, cross it in. I mean, anyone can see that. But I'm only joking. But I get what you mean.
Complete waste of oxygen.
Like, I feel like you're Arsenal, I mean, let's look at the difference between Arsenal and Chelsea, right? Arsenal, they're playing with a lot of pressure because there's a lot of expectation. You have to get these results. Nobody was expecting Chelsea to be where they are right now. So we're playing free of pressure. And I feel like sometimes that's the difference between the two teams. Arteta's going to go grey soon.
I don't disagree, but at the same time, like, because they've been there or thereabouts the last two seasons,
and
they should handle that better. But like, again, like I said a couple of weeks ago, we've not been chasing it like this before. So maybe that's getting into their heads a little bit. But and if you look at the performance against Fulham last season, it is an improvement. We didn't lose.
That's a Spurs statement.
So, yeah, that is a Spurs statement. So, but yeah, as I say, I can't hide disappointment. Like, as I said, we needed to go and win that game. And unfortunately, we just didn't unlock, didn't have the keys to unlock the padlock. So well done. And Fulham are having a good season. Like, let's not take anything away from Fulham at the moment. They're having a very good season at the moment. So
they're better than West Ham. And Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. Because...
I'm just trying to get it in there.
But yeah, I think that covers off Arsenal, unless either or any of you have got anything else to lumber on.
Do you think that... Not often. Well, yeah. pretty much touching on what Bob was saying. Do you reckon you run out of ideas? If, for instance, if you're not attacking down the left because Trossard and Martinelli ain't doing the business down there, you're going down the right where Martinelli and Saka team up really well. Oh, not Martinelli, Odegaard and Saka team up really well. Eventually, like if Fulham are shutting that down, for instance, I didn't watch the game, but if they were shutting that down and seeing what you were doing, that stops your sort of game plan. But then move, so just on the next bit, is it moving forward, that's going to wear out Saka and Odegaard quite quickly for every single week. If you do that,
I get what you're saying. Yeah. And the other thing is as well, like, Timber hasn't quite got the understanding with Saka as Ben White has. So we are missing Ben White a little bit as well. But going on to the whole, they're going to wear them out. It hasn't done for the last two seasons. And that's kind of been
two seasons in a row because of the performances. I think it sort of did.
I disagree. Like, I don't think those two run out of steam. I think their goals and assists kind of back that up. We do need the rest of the team to start kind of up in their levels and joining those numbers. I think the bigger issue is, like, and I say, not having that world class striker. Havertz continuously does a job for us, and he offers us a lot. But the goal return isn't quite as high as a Haaland or a Salah or some, like, a world class player.
Nicholas Jackson.
We do need goals from elsewhere. And at the moment, those goals are coming from centre-halves, which they're not... We could joke about as many set pieces as we get. You're not going to win a title just getting set-piece goals. You're not going to do it. Like, you do need your forwards to pitch in. And that's where Martinelli, Havertz, Trossard and the players from the bench need to get that extra 1-2%. And that's, yeah, I mean, again, can Raheem Sterling come on and do a job on the left? Like, there's other options that we've got there that we need to explore if it's not working. And like, at the moment, we are overly reliant on set piece goals because just general play, we are being shut out. Like, yeah. Hopefully, going forward, he figures something out. Thomas Partey again is one of those players that can play a forward ball to unlock a defence as well. So he plays on the half turn, which a lot of defensive midfielders don't. So he's been quite dangerous with playing through balls. But against Fulham, we just weren't clinical enough, really. And you'd probably say that against a couple of other teams this season when we've dropped points. Like, we have a lot of possession, we get the ball in good areas. Saka and Odegaard will continuously deliver good balls, but someone needs to be on the end of them. Someone needs to be scoring them. So, but yeah, that's hopefully answered that for you, Luke.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mitchell and Bob?
No, thank you.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about someone else's misery. Oh, no, that's not really misery yet. Chelsea, Southampton.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? Well, like West Ham, we had a lot of shots. Unlike West Ham, we put five of them away.
Fuck off. They're literally playing the Spurs fans every fucking week, aren't they? You're going to be saying that you're going to win the league next.
Oh, we're going to win the league, aren't we?
Oh, shit. So not top four anymore. It's we weren't even top four, was you? I was asking you.
No, but I'll get to that. it was pretty much to be expected, this result. Southampton are shocking, so poor. They've got nothing in the middle of the park, especially when they go down to 10 men. I don't know if you saw it. What's his name? Stevens, defender. He fucking
pulled. Was it the hair pull?
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? I agree. Like, what a stupid thing to be sent off for. But you can't do it. You can't pull someone's hair. It's as simple as that.
Such a Spanish twat as well, isn't he?
He is.
I wouldn't like him if he didn't play for Chelsea. Let's put it that way. But yeah, Southampton is so poor. And it made us look good. I like Enzo because he's not afraid to switch things up. We made 7 changes for that game.
80 players, so it's quite easy to do, isn't it?
Well, with your 2 squads.
He's been brilliant though, hasn't he, so far, Enzo?
It's one of those where, because Slot's doing just that little bit better, everyone's kind of not even speaking about him doing such a good job with Chelsea. And he's doing a great job, right?
Do you know, the annoying thing is, right, if our opening game of the season wasn't City, and let's say we played City now, and we're on 34 points and they're on 35, I understand they didn't play this weekend. You might even be looking at them as equals. He continues to impress me.
So do you... I still have a feeling that you're going to drop off at some point.
That's just
a feeling I have. So I was going to ask, do you have that feeling as well?
I do.
Because defensively, you're still not great.
That's exactly it. I put that on my notes. I mean, that is why we are not title contenders. Our defence needs shoring up. I mean...
The goalkeeper.
Just need new boots,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. we'll get to that as well. But that's the thing at the moment. We're just fucking scoring a lot of goals. We're conceding a lot as well. That's why it's we normally have a bad Christmas. And I think this will be the same. And I think it will start against Brentford next week.
Oh, he's getting it in early.
Or this week. Yeah. But I won't say the result.
Is that away?
I think we're at home.
You'll be fine.
They're a bit of a bogey team for us. We've only ever beaten them once.
Their away record though this season is terrible.
They've been doing all right, Brentford.
Yeah, their home record's great, but they just can't play away from home at the moment.
I might change my prediction then. But no, as far as the Southampton Chelsea match goes, the only frustrating thing about it was, who is it? Sancho scoring a fifth on the 87th minute. What a prick.
That goddamn fifth goal.
What a prick. Just leave it. I don't want five.
Me, Bob and Luke were together and it was like, God, it's 2-0 already. Like, what's going on here? Oh, it's 3-0. Oh, it's 3-1. Oh, no, it's not going to happen, is it?
Because we haven't had a correct 4-1 yet, have we? No one's correctly predicted 4-1
yet. No one's predicted that yet.
Because, I mean... Like I said, Clive.
And then we all cheered. Yeah. We all cheered when the fifth went in.
Oh, well, thank you.
It was like a house of Chelsea fans.
Yeah, makes a change. Fucking hell. But it was a good goal from Sancho, to be fair to him. He's looking very sharp. And Madueke had a good game. Felix, when he comes on, he's looking sharp as well. Jorginson, he played instead of Sancho against Southampton. And I mean, not that he had to do much, but he did make a couple of all right saves. So I don't know if Enzo's testing the waters there.
I did kind of question that last time, didn't I? Like, is it time to? Because he's a goalkeeper that plays in your Europa Conference Farmers League, isn't he?
In the Farmers League, yeah. So
prestigious.
It might be time to give him a run, but then when do you try it in the Premier League? Well, Southampton.
So it's a big decision to make as well, isn't it? Where, given where you are in the league, I know your goalkeeper's been suspect for some goals, but given the fact that you're second, do you make that change? Because if results start going the other way, that will be looked upon straight away.
Well, yeah, it will, but that wouldn't be the reason why. Like I say, our defence and our goalkeeper isn't the reason why we're second in the league at the moment. We've just got such attacking talent on both wings, in the centre of the park and even up front. Look at Jackson this season. The confidence is booming for the boy. And even when he doesn't play, because he didn't play against Southampton. Well, it was thanks to me, actually. First psychology. So Nkunku's playing. He balls out the fucking balloon again, didn't he? He could have got two, but Palmer, the day he passed, and stole a goal off him. Everyone's scoring. Everyone in that squad is scoring. The defensive midfielders, the defenders, the wingers, the strikers, everybody is scoring goals.
Yeah, Enzo, since he's been kind of brought back, has been unbelievable, right?
Yeah, I think he's had, 3 and 4? That's it. I think he's safe to make the change with the goalkeepers. I don't think that'd be a reason why, because we've got enough attacking talent. That's what we're doing at the moment. We're outscoring teams.
Yeah, I think we can continue the Chelsea talk. We're going to pop in a quick laugh at Luke for Bournemouth, Tottenham, and then we're going to go on to more Chelsea and Tottenham. So, Luke, Bournemouth, Tottenham.
Well, I got different news from the Bournemouth and Tottenham. This is actually more devastating than that result. The most hated celebration chocolate has been revealed. Yeah, and it's Mars. What the fuck? Yeah,
It's boring, isn't it?
And Milky Way 7. How the fuck is Milky Way 7?
It's usually the Bounty, but the Bounty is one of the best.
The Bounty's fifth. Fifth on the list, Bounty. Maltesers, Galaxy, Caramel.
It's a good
Twix.
Deflection tactic. let's talk about your Australian manager.
This is a joke, mate. Not the Australian manager. Yes, another joke, yeah? But this is a joke. Maltesers I can understand as one. But
Luke,
fuck
is this
me, Milky Way 7.
At? While we were talking about Chelsea. I don't blame
he
you.
He doesn't pay attention to us, does he?
I don't pay attention to you guys.
Right, Luke.
Teams. All right, Bournemouth. Okay. Mitchell called it.
Fucking right.
Yeah. Well done, Mitchell. Clap for Mitchell. Well done.
No.
Yeah, that's another day for that. Bournemouth game. Oh, my God. Did you all see that?
Yeah,
It's a great header by Bournemouth. Like another set piece goal conceded by Tottenham. Like I don't know what. I think it was Dragerson who was supposed to be marking him.
It
was
a
great header.
No one marked him.
But that's so you had three line up against their three who were going to split. They split and nobody followed.
Mate, that set piece he really is stubborn, Ange. Not even getting in a set piece coat. Or if they've got a set piece coat, he needs to be set. Fuck, I could do it. I'll put it down now. I could coach better than
get your CV in
coaches. Hey, it's not fucking difficult. I've played like fucking 15. So I've got. I'm getting older. 25 years of fucking FIFA. Yeah. I can probably defend the corner more than they fucking can. Dickheads. Oh God, they are useless at defending. It was a terrible game. Like the Bournemouth game was shocking. No one played well in that game. Oh, Forster.
Your goalkeeper's been injury, he's been pretty good, and you can't blame him.
He's always been good though. He's always been a goalkeeper.
He's a good shot stiffer, but he's not very good at ball at feet.
Yeah, but that's like a handful of him in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, but if you want to be a top team goalkeeper,
he's not. He's a good shot stopper. He's just around, isn't he? Who's that goalkeeper for Man City?
Scott Carson.
That never plays. He's just one of those goalkeepers.
He's got an absolutely unbelievable stat as well. He's won the Champions League twice in his career.
And not played a game.
He's played 19 minutes of Champions League football.
That weird?
Liverpool's sub goalkeeper for the 3-3 comeback. Apparently, And obviously, he's City's fair choice. So, yeah,
I can't fault the goalkeeper. Like, he's come and he's done a good job. Can't blame, and he's made some fantastic saves. Even in the Europa League, he was good. I can't fault him. But everyone else has been shit. Like, Ben Davis has been all right. Like, you know what you get with Ben Davis. He's just a solid defender. He's like, he's not good enough to be playing week in, week out, but he gives you...
I'd say up until set pieces, your two centre-halves that have come in up until this weekend as well, your two centre-halves that have come in to be the replacements for the Dutch lad and Romero have done as good as... Like, probably better than expected, shall we say, because...
Agreed. Yeah.
They're not like Ben Davis isn't even a centre half, is he? He's a left or right back.
He's a left back.
Yeah. So they've both, and Dragosin, although he's been there for a year, he's not really got much Premier League experience.
No, he's not.
I would say they've done a decent, like, chucked in the deep end and they've done all right. But at the same time, you've not won many games. So have they done all right?
No, that's the thing is that, like, they've got to come in and they've got to do what they can do. And we won the Man City game with them in. So we did win a game with them in, and that was a big game.
I did ask you that at the time, though. Was that just because City are woefully bad at the moment?
Turns out.
It's looking that way.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, you don't beat Man City 4-0, even if them being woefully bad. Come on. No, if that was the case, every other team would be doing it week in, week out. Yeah, they might not be winning.
Results recently?
Yeah, but it's not like people beating them 4-0, though, away from home. Are they? It just doesn't happen. It's just we played really well on the day. It happens. But looking at the Bournemouth game, it's shocking. Just pure shocking. And I don't know what the fuck Andrew's doing in that one. So we can just move on to the Chelsea game now.
So you sure you want to go there that quick?
Yeah, let's go to the Chelsea.
Mitchell's smile has just got bigger.
Oh, of course he did. He's well happy. Considering we dominated that game. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. That might give some laughs now. We didn't dominate the game. We looked good, though.
First half, you look good.
Mitch, you can't deny that, mate.
Not even the first half. I'll give you the first 4 minutes.
Fuck the first 4 minutes. 30 minutes. We were clinical. Do you know what? We actually had...
You weren't clinical. You had a wet fucking pitch.
What was the... A wet pitch. Fucking... We were all on the same fucking pitch,
Your fucking sideshow Bob just couldn't fucking keep his feet.
We had six clear-cut chances to your one in that game, and we didn't put them away. And... Ariel Jules with 50-50, by the way.
Throw that in there.
It was a good game for neutrals. Neutrals fucking loved it. The attacking football from both teams was quality.
Some good goals.
Some great goals. And again, 2-0 up was great. Yes, okay, Cucurella made the mistakes, but we did look alright on the attack. And we could have got a few more. It's just that as I said in the chat when we were 2-0 up, I said, mate, we need to be 4-0 up. Exactly.
And his decisions, like there's a time where Son could have just squared the ball.
I made this comment before, didn't I? In the previous one, players just want to get goals, and I get that they want to score, but sometimes you just have to square the ball, just square it, and then or pass it back or do something. That's why I like Maddison when he came on and got the assist to Son right at the end of the game. Like, fresh legs, his passing is quality. Look what he's done. Great pass to Son in the goal. But if he was on sooner in that game, I don't get Ange. I don't think fans are taking a step back and actually assessing the situation much. Because at the moment, they're straight out, oh, Ange needs to go. And I feel like that's bullshit. Because what? We're just going to do it again and get another manager every 1 year, every 2 years? And then being the square one again, oh, we need to spend money again on players. But every time a manager comes in, you've got to understand is that they want their own structure.
Yeah, you've ruined the great managers.
Exactly. They want their own players when they come in. So that means, like,
again, I kind of disagree with that. Like, I wouldn't say they've ruined great managers, but I just don't think you can be successful at Tottenham at the moment. And I've said it before. It's because the financial restraints on you because of the stadium, you're not being able to go out and spend 100 million on players every transfer market.
I get that. I understand the frustrations of the stadium and the money and whatever else. But I also feel like, what was the excuse before the stadium? Like, why have we still not won nothing in fucking, I don't know, losing track
but that,
how many years
that
it's been.
Period, that period before the stadium, you would probably say you had the strongest squad you've had and you just didn't get over the line.
No, we was beating a lane that season.
I've said it constantly. Like, I think you was one trophy away from being a very good team. Like, if that Harry Kane team with Son, with Dembele, with whoever else in and around
Rose,
him,
Walker,
yeah,
Vertonghen, all the world, yeah.
If that team got a trophy, you're going to kickstart. That's going to build that confidence, the winning way, the winning mentality.
Yeah.
Luckily for everyone else, you didn't.
No. Well, for Arsenal, because you didn't want us winning the Champions League before you. So, yeah, I can see.
Luckily for everyone else. No, nobody wants Tottenham winning trophies.
Especially for you guys. No, that's not. That's just
Bob.
Arsenal fans. Bob. No, you're looking at, you've got London clubs in here. Of course they're going to say that. Of course
yeah,
they're
yes, Clive. Yeah.
Do you want Tottenham winning a trophy?
No, thank you.
Mitchell. Do you want Tottenham winning a trophy?
No, thank you.
Well, look, I'm not even going to ask the question, do you want Arsenal to win a trophy? Because you guys are already going to fucking lick his arsehole and say, oh, yeah, well, we want Arsenal to win a trophy. You guys are fucking losers.
I'd love that.
I don't want any London club. I want any London club winning a trophy. All right? None of you guys. Fuck you all. Yeah?
But, Luke.
Yep.
Talking about Spurs at the moment.
Yep.
So, do you think that the football that you play is sustainable for you to be a half decent team throughout the whole team?
A top four team.
Yeah. Do you think it's sustainable? Because
I think we've touched on it before.
Like, there doesn't seem to be much game management. There seems to be one strategy, which we all know, he's even said it himself, he's got one strategy and that's it. They're going to go for it constantly, no matter the score, no matter what. Doesn't seem like there's much game management, but that's going to take a toll on the team, isn't it, at some point? Like, we talk about Arsenal and their right side. Like, literally, your whole team is doing that. Like, Ange's expecting a lot out of the team, and I know they're athletes.
I don't think so in that instance because of the, on the rotation, two, we keep getting injuries, so we've got no choice but for rotation. Three, they're a young squad, like a very young squad. And he has been taking them off, like pretty much what Arsenal's been doing with Odegaard and stuff like that. Like, Maddison's been coming off 70 minutes just so he stays fit. This is probably the longest Maddison stayed fit for in the last four or five seasons because of he's been taking him off. And same with Son. You know, they've been taking him off to rest him for games. Not that it's working because we're losing. But
then he's chucking Romero and fucking Van de Ven on when they're not 100% matched.
I think that's pressure. I think a lot of fans will probably say this. I've not listened to him, but I assume they'll say the same thing, is that, like, he's lost the...
You play one or the other if they're both not 100%.
Well, exactly,
right?
That. And I think it was probably touch and go between them, like last minute sort of thing. All right, here we go. Van de Ven, with his hamstring, he needs to, like, I don't know, loads of ice baths or something, and then loads of rest to get back. Romero,
loads of ultrasounds on it.
Yeah. Romero's just fucking Romero. He causes his own problems. His injuries have just been himself, where he's been jumping in on tackles and just getting injured himself because he's a fucking idiot. So I don't have any sympathy for him, but it's hurting the team. Like, he looked all right. He was stopping Chelsea down that side.
His press was very good, yeah.
Yeah, his experience, he actually was good there. And I think it works well with Van de Ven because he's not worried about Salah goes behind him because Van de Ven's got a cover. So there was no problem there. It was then after that, Chelsea then found space and then they scored the goal from distance. And it's just, yeah, I just get so frustrated with Tottenham. And the attacking football's good. Like, the press has been amazing. Like, Solanke was brilliant in that first half and the pressing was so good. And the whole team were doing it. And it works, Bob. It does work for that 30, 35 minutes. And then getting those goals. But the problem is that when you have that pressing game, if you keep your foot on that pedal for continuous, there's going to be space regardless.
You've got to know when to press and when not. Like,
exactly that. Yeah,
like Liverpool had with Sadio Mane as your trigger guy.
Yeah.
When he pressed, the whole team pressed. Like, you can't press every single time the opponent's got the ball.
And that's why I don't like those two defensive midfield players, Papa Sarr and Bissouma, because they're not finding, like they did with Bentancur when he played, he was so good for us before the, obviously the whole debacle with him, red card and whatever else, and being banned. Sorry, not red card, being
banned for being racist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he's apologised for that. But well, we won't go there on that.
Oh, that's
what he's,
as long as you apologise, it's fine.
It's only Clive.
Enzo's done the same.
Cunt, you know what I mean? It's
I didn't say Spanish cunt.
You definitely said Spanish something, but either way, it's,
I did say Spanish something.
Yeah. So, do you know what I mean? And he's apples and oranges, eh, Clive? But Pentacle covers that space. Those two don't do that.
Like, Luke, I do agree with you. I think going forward, especially in the first 30 minutes or whatever we're saying, you still look really good. There was a couple of times where Son, like, done a couple of turns. I thought, fucking hell. And then I feel like after Sancho scored, you just turned straight back into that team that were playing against Bournemouth, like, instantly.
Yeah. They dropped their heads. It was a great goal from Sancho. They just dropped their heads. And it,
or
I think
we just
in their,
turn up?
Well, no, I think in their heads, this is the thing, as I said to you guys, how is it that I can watch the game of Tottenham and in that game we go 2-0 up and I can say to you guys straight away that I'm worried, being a Spurs fan here, is that we need to be 4-0 up.
But as soon as Romero goes off as well, that's it.
Exactly. Like, you look at that, you'd be like, if I'm saying that, and we all know other Tottenham fans will be saying that, and I'm not a professional football player, and I'm seeing that already. I already knew where it was going to go. Harry's Ange and that team of coaches there are not seeing that and be like, fuck me.
Because he's too naive and stubborn, mate.
This is it. But I don't want him out, though, because I don't know who's going to come in.
Do you know what wound me up most, right? And sorry, I know I'm saying a lot about this, and this is your game, but with Ange, after, he basically came and he was like, oh yeah, mate, it's, you know, typical what happened to us this year because Romero came off and all of that. Well, fucking prefer, like, think about that before the game. This guy isn't 100% match fit. I know that you can't, but you're big responsible game for that mistake. You're responsible for it because you're putting him on when he's not 100% fit. That changed the game for you. Like,
agreed. Yeah.
And then Vander, the Dutch lad, got injured as well.
It's an easy name, Clive, can't we?
I'll do it for a joke now.
I think you do.
I think Mitchell's been very, very patient. So, Mitchell.
I mean, I just, yeah, it's fucking talking waffle, Luke. Spurs are shit, mate.
Fucking hell. He pays £1 billion for his fucking squad buy the league again.
Money can't buy your happiness, all right? But it can get you some good results. You start the game fast.
Listen,
my friend, all right? You start the game fast, but you do, let's be realistic here, you do only go 2-0 up because of Cucurella. Yep. Let's be honest, right? And even on the first goal, even with the Cucurella slip, Colwill was just poor defending. Who was it that scored you first?
Solanke. It was great.
Solanke, yeah. So it was a great finish. It was, but he's run in front. He's gone round the defender and run in front of him and beat him at that near post.
Yeah, but that was a smart play from Solanke, though.
Well, it's poor play from the defender.
Nah,
yeah, but that Colwill should do better.
Giroud used to make that run very often,
it's a striker's finish. Yeah,
you look to pull back, and then you dart in front,
because you don't know what he's going to do, and that's the hard position when you play those sort of strikers against those strikers. But yeah, go on. Sorry.
I put it down to poor defending as well as
what
a great move from Solanke. No, I'm not taking anything away from Solanke.
It can be both.
But it's hard for Colwill, isn't it?
You don't let him get in front of you around that way.
Yeah, but they're sprinting towards goal. He's behind him.
And on that point, if he does let him get in front of him, you just do what the Spurs players do and give a penalty away. So.
Yeah. I will get to the fucking penalties because that second one was the
both
most
of them
ridiculous
are
penalty.
So fucking ridiculous.
They both are so ridiculous, but I could almost understand the first one more than the second. The second is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just before you say that, Mitchell, you do know you got two goals because of penalties, right? Even though you said two goals because of slip-ups and Cucurella, you got two goals because of penalties, but you wouldn't have got those if they didn't do stupid challenges.
They're blatantly stupid challenges. Like, yeah, Cucurella's unlucky that he slipped over. I don't like the guy, but he's unlucky he slipped over.
But that's because of the pressing, mate. If we didn't press him, he wouldn't have. You know, he wouldn't.
No, it's because of his studs.
It's because of his boots. He didn't slip over when he changed his boots.
Mate, if he could have slipped over any time in that game,
yeah, he did with shit boots on.
He did it because of the pressure.
He was getting pressured after he changed boots and didn't slip over again.
Look, doesn't matter. pressure was there. Our player slipped over 3 or 4 times in that game.
Yeah, just not.
No one was pressuring. Before we get into the second half of the penalties,
and Cooper has a hat trick of assists
Two red cards.
Fucking
hell, yeah!
Because I wanna hear people's opinions on the differences between the Caicedo and the Kulusevski one. You prick, what's the matter with you? Just let me have my moment, right? Look, I'm going to be a Chelsea fan here, all right? I'm going to annoy everyone. So just hold in your gasps. I can...
Fuck off.
I wouldn't have argued if he was sent off. Let's put it that way. But I can just about, because I'm a Chelsea fan, understand why VAR said what they said, right? There was the lack of intent and all that bollocks. Because it didn't look great, but he's not fucking piled in there to go and injure the player. And I make this point because then you look at the Kulusevski one and they said the same thing, not excessive force. Now, to me, Kulusevski's elbow does not need to be anywhere near Levia's face. It doesn't need to be there. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's gone in with that elbow. He's fucking UFC'd the bloke.
Caicedo's boot does not need to be that high.
Yeah.
It's a slip.
How is it?
It's a slip.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's all right.
Because he's trying to get on top of the ball.
There's no ball there, mate.
It's a slip. My point is, right, Caicedo isn't trying to injure anyone with that challenge. It's a board. Why is his elbow there?
Well, why is his foot so high?
Because it was a bad challenge.
The thing is,
you can't make a tackle with your elbow. You can with your foot, but it can be a bad tackle and you can get sent off for it. You can't make a tackle with your elbow.
So, I mean, the Caicedo one wasn't a side tackle. It's reckless.
Yeah.
It's reckless. It's a red card. Like, we've seen red cards for that. You say Tottenham, Arsenal get it all the time. West Ham,
I'm backing you three times.
It's a red card. There's no two ways about it. It's a red card.
There's three ways about it, right? Because if Caicedo's is a red, then Kulusevski's is a double.
A red card as well. Yeah, it's probably a 5-match ban.
What, Kulusevski?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Caicedo's is a free match ban because there is no malice in it. It's accidental.
That's what I'm going for. Yeah, there was no malice in it. All right, I'll take that. He can have three matches and he can have five.
Even so, it's still a reckless challenge, and you see red cards for that every single week.
But that fucking elbow, I don't understand why VAR have gone.
I reckon it's because if they fucked up on the first one. I reckon it's and they could 50. I guarantee
you. But then that's just, two wrongs don't make a right.
I get that, but I also
consistency
think that
is a myth.
Exactly. You're I also damn think right. that if you got sent You're off, right. mate, that elbow situation would never happened anyway. Yes, but I agree. It should have been sent off, but you should have been sent off, and that game would have changed dramatically.
I think it was Bob. Yeah, you're right, and I think it was Bob that said it. He's glad that it wasn't a sending off for both players because it was a great game.
Yeah, because they didn't even get a booking.
That's a joke.
Well, they can't intervene for yellows, can they?
No.
What a shame. Yeah. Okay. So, but then, what happened to Spurs in the second half? I mean, you had, 38% possession in the end? Where did you go? We were all over you in the second half.
That was my notes. It's like the first half, Tottenham, I thought, just about the better team. Second half, they did not turn up whatsoever.
Not until the last 7 minutes, the extra time. And like you say, it's probably because of, what's his name?
Madison.
Maddison. It's probably because Maddison coming on, he was fucking up for it. And you're right. Why did he not bring in on a hell of a lot sooner? Our defence is shaky as
mate,
fuck.
I don't know, mate. I'm not a manager. I don't know. Just Angie's fucking in a different league, mate. I have no idea.
He's on a different continent. He's still in Australia,
mate,
isn't he?
Yeah, probably is, mate. Probably is. I have no idea. I'm shocked by it. And okay, I can understand losing against Chelsea because they're a bogey team to us. I understand that. Fine. But I get frustrated is that, yeah, there is no structure after we've gone 2-0 up. I'd understand if we just park the bus, like Mourinho. I'll take part of the bus. I'll fucking get 3 points against Chelsea. I'll take it. If we have to look shit.
Will you take it?
I'll take the 3 points.
I'm fairly sure early days of this podcast, you said, no, we don't want to play that way. I don't want to play that way. We just want to be out and out attack all the time. Arsenal can't do that. It's blah, blah, blah. Like, now you've changed your tune.
Look, you parked the bus from day one, from the get go, from like 0 to 95 minutes. We went 2-0 up. We're parking the bus. That's different. Yeah. If you look, don't twist words here. Yeah. Parking a bus for the whole game versus parking a bus when you're 2-0 up, two different things. And when I say parking the bus, I don't mean like Arsenal where you sit everyone in your own half, because that's fucking, you might as well be at the stadium at that point. Yeah. Fucking no point. Tottenham just need to take a bit more control at the back. Yeah. But go 5 at the back. So 5-3-2 or something instead of whatever the fuck he's playing at the moment. 3 at the back or 2 at the back. It feels like we've got like one defender sometimes. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's shocking. Shocking at the moment. And I'm dreading the next game, which I think might be Liverpool.
No, you've got Southampton before that. So,
that's a 1-0 to Southampton.
Nice bounce back game.
If we don't beat Southampton, I don't even know what's going to happen. I don't want
lose to Southampton, beat Liverpool, please.
Guarantee it. Yeah, guarantee it. That will happen.
Oh, I would be happy with that right now.
We can't beat Liverpool. It doesn't matter even not if we sign fucking De Bruyne. We're not beating Liverpool. It would be a miracle if we beat Liverpool. I can't even believe
it. Like a miracle that you beat City 4-0?
It wasn't a miracle.
They're a bogey team for City, aren't they? That's what
I'm saying. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, some teams you're just good against. And we did nearly beat Chelsea. We just couldn't fucking.
So did you nearly beat Chelsea? All right. If the match finished after 15 minutes, beat Chelsea.
I mean, it was 4-3 in the end. They got 2 penalties off of us, and they should have.
Let's have a quick word about the penalties. Let's have a quick word about the penalties.
Sending off, so that don't mean anything. No, I'm sorry.
Yours was first. The elbow never happened if you were sent off first. Yeah,
you can't say that for sure.
Pretty sure
you could have 3 players sent off after that.
No.
I mean, it's happened before, isn't it?
No.
And then they still play the high line. And no. Anyway, let's talk about the two of the worst penalty decisions by defenders in this season so far. Like the first one, why are you slide tackling there? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
the guy's 5'9" and he's sliding against Lickers Jackson. What the fuck?
Yeah, world-class striker. Yeah, but this is the thing, right? It is so ridiculous. And if that was the only penalty, I would be saying how ridiculous. But I can
then
at
the
least,
second one.
I mean, that's what I mean. I can at least understand because Jackson's in a better position. But the second one, Palmer's going away from the fucking
box.
They both were.
The first one, he's
not so much, but.
Well, even the first one, his body shape's not going to get a good shot off,
is he? No, nowhere near. And the best
he can do there is keep the ball, control it, try and whip it in.
Yeah,
you don't need to make a side. Anyway. Just stand up.
It was so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. But can we talk about Palmer's penalties? Palmer's penalties. Well, that's a nice little ring to it, isn't it? And did you see the stat? He's the first to reach 12. You score your first 12.
Suck him off or something. Fucking hell.
I will say, right, and I was slagging him off last episode because he was winding me up with his celebrations and all of that. But I'm kind of sold on him now.
I've said a couple of times, I like him. Like, I think he's a very, very good player. I don't like the fact he plays for Chelsea.
But not even the penalties, like that build up to Fernandez's goal.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The ball is like glued to his
feet. Yeah, Palmer should have closed him.
He still needs to turn up against the big team. Still not doing that, is he? Still not doing that. He's got to turn up against the big team, yeah.
He's fucking turned up against plenty of teams.
Name a big match that he's made a big impact in.
West Ham.
Like a big match. Yeah. They are massive. So, yeah. You got me there. World class. But no, like...
I couldn't right now. Good, I'd have to
a good match against
that.
Liverpool, City, Arsenal. Like, then, yeah, 100% he's fucking quality. But he had... So far, he has gone missing in big games.
I wouldn't put Arsenal with Liverpool and City in there right now.
No, neither would I.
Didn't Henri go missing in big games as well, if I remember correctly?
Oh.
He didn't score in a final for
there
Arsenal.
There we go.
There's a lot of hostility in this episode.
I love it. I'm just sticking up for Mitchell as well, you know, for his players. What you can only play who's in front of you, and they're right, Mitch.
Yeah,
he's played against big teams, Luke, but he's just not performed so far.
Yeah.
I'd have to look into that a bit more.
They drew with Arsenal so far this season.
So they've only played two
and he did nothing in that game.
Well, the Arsenal game?
Yeah.
I thought he was involved in
big teams,
one of the goals.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I don't think you are. I'd have to go and have a look.
I'm pretty sure.
But the thing is, right, I mean, aside from Southampton and maybe Wolves, there's no easy fucking guaranteed wins. And he is turning up more often than not.
He's consistent.
But that's a myth, Clive, come on. But even if he is quiet for 60, 70, 80 minutes, he is that sort of player that will just do a bit of magic and change the game.
But again, and again, I'm a fan. I like Cole Palmer. I really do. And I think he's got a great pass on him. He's obviously got an eye for goal.
He's better than Saka.
I wouldn't say that at all. I mean...
If you could only play Palmer or Saka for England, who are you going with?
Saka.
Palmer at the moment.
Saka's done it for England. He's consistently turned up. And that's the thing. Like, Saka plays against the big teams. Look at his goals and assists against the big teams.
Is Saka as versatile as Palmer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he started his career at left wing back. So he's played on the left, he's played on the right.
Yeah, but so could Palmer.
Yeah, I'm not saying
right middle.
I'm not saying that Saka's more
left-footed,
versatile.
Right-footed. He could.
I'm saying he's as versatile.
His feet are like glue.
What's his best position though?
Everywhere.
He's the number 10.
He'd score 10 goals in goal.
Yeah, because it'd all be penalties.
Well. Maybe. You still got to score.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, 100%. You do, yeah. 100%. I'm not taking anything away from it. Until he does it against... In the big games...
All right, listen, Clive. I'm writing this
listen.
Down. I'm holding you
write,
to this.
Write it down. Yeah, 100%.
Where's my pen?
Write it down. Because, I'm a fan of him. I think he's a great player. And I enjoy watching him play football. But... He hasn't turned up in a big game yet.
Cool. I'll tell you what, Clive. I mean, I don't want to shoot myself in the bollocks here, but we've got quite an easy run coming up.
You have got a nice run, yeah.
Yeah. It's Man City on the 25th of Jan, which would be arguably our next, not even arguably, that's our next big game.
Yeah. We'll see how he does.
Turn up by then, though. That's the annoying part about that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sad about it. That's the thing. I'm not comparing him against Saka because I think their best positions are different positions. Saka is a right winger, and I think Cole Palmer's best position is the number 10.
The number 10, yeah.
And at the moment, he's better than Phil Foden in that position. Like, he's performing, outperforming Foden at the moment. For me... In the England team, they both play.
To choose one.
I'm choosing Saka.
As a squad player. So if you had to leave them out, like leave one of them out of the complete squad.
I'm bringing Saka on.
Right.
Would you really?
Bob and Luke, what would you do?
I would take Palmer.
It would be because just at the moment when Palmer's form, and even when you saw it when he come on for England, like look at the way that the buzz that we were getting when he was coming on, things were happening. Even when Saka was playing, like Saka would go off or go into a different position or whatever it was, like Palmer was making things happen. He's just one of these players that just
he can just do a bit of magic.
He's just everywhere, and his passing is so much better as well.
Yeah, I'm doing it from a purely versatility point of view.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Palmer would do a better job on the right wing, but yeah, he could play there.
He's going to get you more goals, isn't he? He's going to get you more goals. That's a guaranteed from him.
I'd say for England, Saka regularly scores.
I'm not saying you're going to drop. You're not going to drop Saka at the moment, because yes, he's cemented that position. But it's definitely one of those ones that it's such a tough one going into. We've got a new manager now, so
the only way I see it happening is Saka is injured for England, then Cole Palmer go. But again, I don't think they are both playing for the same position. I think Cole Palmer is playing for the centre position.
A whatever.
Yeah.
Like, why would you?
Buff, that's the word.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
When you've got two players that are both in form and both performing at their levels, why would you pick one or the other when you've got players that, and again, for England, Foden has not performed for England. He's a great young player, and he does play well for City when City are playing well. He's not one that's like Cole Palmer has done for Chelsea and like Saka has done for Arsenal. Foden doesn't seem to be able to dig deep and drag City through a bad spell. Cole Palmer has 100% done that for Chelsea and so Saka for Arsenal. But why are you... what's the point of taking them two out of the team?
You'd take other players.
It's been that technical, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're taking the mentality of Gareth Southgate there, though, Clive, like picking your favourites just because, you know.
No, Southgate would try and play them all in the same position.
Yeah, and how that worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you drop Saka and put Palmer on the right.
Yeah.
What, and let Phil Foden run the midfield?
Well, no, there's better players than Foden. Well, not better players than Foden, but there's players that could be in form that could play in that position.
I'm waiting for one name. If you say Madison now,
I mean, Foden's not exactly performing this season so far. Madison has been.
So Cole Palmer plays there. You, you just
me, Clive.
Mate, do you remember the old Steven Gerrard and the Frank Lampard? How good they were. They're playing together and they were shit. Imagine doing Karma and Saka.
We need to see it happen for England.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on that point as well, like, it's not Palmer's fault that Southgate decided not to play him much.
Oh, exactly.
If he'd had the same game time as Saka, the goals and assists would probably be on tally, if not more. You don't agree, do you?
I don't, no, I don't.
Isn't there like a Palmer and thingy stat at the moment online somewhere that I'm sure you can... That you can find.
You say you. You mean you.
Yeah. matches, 14 matches, 9 goals, 6 assists, 1 hat-trick for Palmer. Saka, 11 assists from corners. 7 goals and 18 matches. And he's played a lot. He's played double the minutes of pretty much... No, not double, but he's played... I don't know the percentage there, but it's late, guys, he's played about 400 minutes more, so going by stats wise, you're looking at Palmer, plus Chelsea are above Arsenal in the league, you're going to go by player on form, and that is Cole Palmer at the moment. He's the player in form that everyone's talking about.
I'm not upset. Like, again, they play in different positions. Like, it's a silly comparison.
It's a whatevery. Right?
Yeah.
It's a whatevery.
Yeah.
If you had to leave one out of your squad, that's all it was. It's a whatevery.
Palmer's on the bench.
Well, that's it. Clive, you're getting that argument there. If Foden's on form, banging in X amount of goals for him, so he's playing in that 10 position, and now it is between Palmer on the right and Saka, I know you're going to stick with Saka again, yeah?
Yeah. There's no point asking.
Yeah.
Saka's in the team. Because he's done it consistently for England. No, it's just because he's been consistent. Like, I don't get it. Like,
yeah, so was Sterling.
Palmer's not had a chance.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Sterling was great for England when he was playing.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's not, you know, if a better player is in form, you're going to play him, aren't you?
I don't think he's a better player. And I think a lot of coaches.
You don't think Palmer's better than Saka?
Saka? No, I don't. No.
Right. Just we should from now on have a segment in the podcast called hashtag whatifery. And it's a question like this every week.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, we should do that.
We can try. I mean, we run out of time a lot of time. So, and we still got to do man versus AI.
Yeah, we better smash through that. It's a long one.
Yeah, let's move on to that. Anything else on Tottenham Chelsea?
No.
What if? No.
What if we didn't give those players away?
You win the game 3-2.
Yes.
Or what if Cucurella didn't slip?
We won the game 3-2.
What if Cucurella got a new pair of boots for his birthday?
He didn't have to wait that long. He got them drawn the game and he didn't slip anymore.
Yeah, he's fucking struck. Ridiculous.
Tottenham did stop pressing him though. So
We did.
I've got some bad news for you guys. AI got another direct hit.
It's all good.
So let's have a little look. What did we do? So Leicester versus West Ham. West Ham. Leicester won. West Ham won. So it got 0 points. Southampton 0, Chelsea 2. It got 1 point. Arsenal 3. Man United 1. It got 1 point. Tottenham 2. Bournemouth 2. It got no points. So it got, for the midweek games, 2 points. Bob predicted a West Ham 2-0 win against Leicester, so I got 0 points. Goliath predicted an Arsenal 2-0 win against United, so I got 3 points. Mitchell predicted a 4-1 win.
Yeah. Wanker.
Got 1 point. Luke predicted a 2-0 Tottenham win, so I got 0 points.
I mean, it started off with...
Second round of fixtures. AI predicted a 2-1 Chelsea win, so it got 1 point. It predicted a 3-1 Arsenal win, so got 0 points. It predicted a West Ham 2 Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. Got 3 points. Bob predicted a 3-1 West Ham win, so got 1 point. Clive predicted a 4-1 Arsenal win over Fulham. Don't know what he's thinking. So got 0 points. Mitchell predicted a 1-1 draw with Chelsea Tottenham. 0 points. Luke predicted a Luke predicted a 3-1 Tottenham That's win. 0 points.
You two are fucking bugs, honestly.
So the current table stands at AI on 50 points, the humans on 34 points.
Oh, God.
So it's extended the gap even more. Top of the league, Mitchell, 10 points. Clive, second with 10 points. Bob, third with 9 points. Luke, last with 5.
Oh, you're wearing that top, Luke.
You're having to get some points soon, mate. All right, so the next round of fixtures are Arsenal v Everton, Arsenal at home, Chelsea at home to Brentford, Tottenham away to Southampton, and Bournemouth at home to West Ham.
Another fucking Monday night.
So, another Monday night. Yeah. So I'm going to chuck those into AI. So if you want to talk amongst yourself for a minute.
Yeah, as I was saying, celebrations.
Yeah. All right, I've got AI predictions. Let's go. So what are we starting with? Starting with Arsenal v Everton. So Arsenal v Everton. Oh, go on.
We haven't done our predictions.
We have not. Good catch, Mitchell.
Someone's
good
fucking
catch. So Arsenal v Everton, my prediction is going to be a 3-0 home win.
They're doing you, mate.
It's
they're
just copied AI.
We need to bounce back. We need to bounce back. So next one is, we'll go Bob, AFC Bournemouth at home against West Ham.
Yeah, Bournemouth are at home, right?
Yeah.
1-0.
Just going with a draw. He's starting to think I need some points. Yeah. Mitchell, Chelsea at home to a bogey team, apparently Brentford.
Yeah, we've only ever beaten them once. I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea.
Reserved. And Luke, Tottenham, Southampton. Tottenham are away.
4-0 Tottenham.
I mean, Southampton are terrible.
So they are, but they scored against us, and I know we don't have a great defence, but you've just lost two of your defenders.
Right, 4-0 Tottenham.
This guy.
It doesn't want points.
He just wants that Arsenal shirt, doesn't he?
So, AI predictions, let's have a little look. Arsenal is in strong form. I'm not so sure about that. After recently defeating West Ham 5-2, with standout performance from Saka and Odegaard, Everton's recent form has been inconsistent. They face challenges in away matches against top-tier teams. No significant injuries to report. Predictions, Arsenal 3, Everton 1. Rationale, Arsenal's attacking prowess and home advantage make them favourites against an inconsistent Everton side. 3-1. Chelsea versus Brentford. Chelsea showcase resilience by coming from behind to defeat Tottenham Hotspur 4-3 with Cole Palmer contributing significantly.
Yeah.
Brentford's recent performances have been mixed and they have often struggled against top six opponents. No major injuries for either. Prediction 2-0 Chelsea win. Chelsea's recent form and home advantage suggests a comfortable win over Brentford. So 2-0. Tottenham Southampton. Southampton has shown inconsistencies with recent losses, highlighting defensive vulnerabilities. Tottenham is under pressure, having suffered a 4-3 defeat to Chelsea despite early leads. Injuries. Tottenham facing injury concerns with Romero, the Dutch lad. That's it. That's all it's listed. Two. Predictions. Southampton 1, Tottenham 2. Rationale. Despite injury challenges, Tottenham's attacking capabilities may outmatch Southampton's defensive abilities. AFC Bournemouth versus West Ham. Bournemouth has shown resilience with recent performance indicating an improving form. West Ham is looking to recover from 5-2 defeat, aiming to tighten their defence. Injuries. Mikel Antonio underwent surgery after a car accident, with his return date unknown.
What's funny about that, Clive?
I'm nothing's funny about it, but I was pretty impressed that it's put the date is unknown, like it's going to be anytime soon.
Yeah.
Is it because their season's like a car crash?
Mate, Luke, we are 2 points behind you right now.
Okay, right. Rationale. Both teams are striving for stability and a draw seems likely. 1-1.
Done.
1-1 draw.
I can't
that might be one of the funniest things you've ever said, Luke.
Oh, right.
I'm done. I need to go to bed.
Can't wait for next week's Spotify. Good night.